The word we are looking for is self-control. The Greek word literally means in strength, and that's exactly what it is. The fruit of the Spirit is inner strength. It is frequently rendered mastery, or the mastery of self, in extra-biblical literature. In other words, one of the things the Spirit of God promises to for the child of God is to enable him or her to master self, weaknesses, and areas of temptation. How is temptation counteracted? By self-control. Rivet that thought into your head. But wait a minute. As you read this, you may be tempted to say, as with those who attend the so-called Deeper Life conferences, this isn't something I do, it's something God does. I am not able to do anything. I am only passively involved. God is actively involved because, after all, it is the fruit of the Spirit that is self-control. I'm sure that you have heard that kind of thinking. It sounds so right, so profound. But this subtle teaching is an error. Although self-control comes from the Spirit of God, we actively carry it out. Both the Holy Spirit and we are active. That's an important thing to remember. It's a team effort, a both and proposition. There is a teaching floating around today that if something is to be done, I passively wait on God and He does it all. I do nothing, or very little. For me to get involved in it would be something of the flesh. That sounds so good, so pious. And technically, it is true, but it's only half the story. That view leaves a person uninvolved in life. In some marvelous process or spiritual ooze, out come all those neat little things from my sweet old heart, and I look and marvel at the wonderful work of God, almost as if I'm outside myself watching it happen to me. Let me tell you, that view is unbiblical, and it doesn't work. If you try to passively deal with temptation, it will conquer you every day of your life. The power and fruit of the Spirit are available. Self-control comes from God, but I want to say it again, we carry it out. Pause and let that sink in. How do we know this? The Apostle Peter wrote about self-control. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. In that series of commands, the Lord includes our responsibility. You supply self-control. Sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? Paul calls it the fruit of the Spirit, and it is. Self-control is an ingredient from heaven that God gives us when the Spirit of God lives within and controls us. But Peter said we are to supply it. The alleged contradiction is resolved when we realize that God is the source of the power, and that this means we pave the way for it to take place. The same basic supply is given to every child of God, but it is our responsibility to obey and carry out the action of self-control for it to happen in our lives. Four facts about temptation. There are four basic principles regarding temptation. Before we deal with how to handle it, let's get those principles down. They all lie within three verses of James 1. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. Number 1, temptation is inevitable. Let no one say, when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. James did not say, let no one say, if he is tempted. He says, when he is tempted. And there's a difference. It would be wonderful if we could live without facing temptations. But the simple fact is, we cannot. If you think you found some place, some unique Christian victory secret, some perfect location, some uninhabited island, some ideal church, some area where there is no chance for temptation, don't go there. Because when you do, you're going to spoil it. You see, when you go, you take with you your mind, your thoughts, which is the vehicle of temptation. We will never be in a place on earth where there is no temptation. Never.